You're listening to Talking Teesdale, a regular podcast covering Barnard Castle and the surrounding villages. Brought to you in association with the Witham Community Arts Centre.
So here we are again, a new season of Talking Teesdale. My name's Stuart Laundy.
And I'm Jane Woodward.
Have you had a nice summer?
I have. I've had a bit of a stressful summer because I've had Lewis getting A-levels and Aidan getting GCSEs. So it has been a bit stressful, but they've both done really well and they're both going to college and university where they want to go. So that's good.
Totally good. So does that mean you're kicking them out, the pair of them?
No, not quite. Oh. Not yet. They're not ready to fly the nest yet.
No empty nest syndrome yet.
Not yet.
I see. The home cooking must be too good.
Exactly, yes. Yes. How about you? What's your summer been like?
Busy, as you can see from our new surroundings.
I know. I'm very impressed.
We're up in the attic.
Yes. It's very comfortable.
Yeah.
And I'm loving my new chair. I need to find something else to moan about now.
Oh, well, I'm sure we'll come to that. We've got a nice little podcast this week. Our guest is John Ilsley, who was the bass player with Dire Straits. They'd be just before your time, I think.
Yes, but but I do know Dire Straits music.
Yeah, everybody knows Dire Straits music. But some of us lived through it because we're old.
I'm not quite there yet.
From start to finish, but he was brilliant. I had a really good chat with him. I've got some edited highlights for the podcast, and I'm going to make a bit of a special program for the radio station with the whole interview because he gave me quite a good bit of time. It was really, really good. He was on top form.
Excellent.
Except he called me rich.
Right. Any particular reason?
I think he'd been badly informed by his PR chap. He looked down his list and said, "Hello, Rich." I said, "Stuart." He said, "Oh, it says Rich here." But once we got past that little technical difficulty, it was all good. So, yes, on with the show. You'll be back later to give us a few autumn highlights.
I will.
And in the meantime, enjoy John Ilsley.
I will.
Hi, I'm Jim.
And I'm Sheila.
We're volunteers at the Witham.
And you're listening to Talking Teesdale with Stuart and Jane.
So to kick the new series off, we've got a fabulous interview coming up with John Ilsley, best known as the bass player with Dire Straits. He's bringing his show My Life in Dire Straits to the Witham on Saturday the 15th of November for what should be a cracking evening. To get us in the mood, here's a track from John's most recent solo album, which is called 8. This is It's a Long Way Back. Friends of friends of a certain kind.
with the show. So much I just didn't know. So I breathed it in, took it down.
So I'm delighted to be joined by John Ilsley, who many of you will know as the bass player from Dire Straits. He was, along with Mark Knopfler, he was ever present in the band from their inception in the mid to late 1970s until they called it a day in the mid-1990s. John, welcome along.
Thank you very much for having me, Stuart.
The reason we're chatting to John is that he's bringing his solo show. It's not a solo show, is it? You bring a band with you and you chat to the audience and that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, it's called John Ilsley, The Life and Times of Dire Straits. So in a sense, it's all in the title. What it is an evening of music and memories of how the band started and all the way through to when the band finished and everything in between. So we try and show what it's like to be in a successful rock and roll band, of course, which surprised us all. We never thought that was the case when we were living in a council flat in Deptford. It just shows you what can happen in life. Yeah. And so, you know, this is really a celebration. For me, it's a celebration of my time with the band.
1985, it's quite a year for anniversaries this year. Obviously, there's the Brothers in Arms album, which we'll come to in a second. But it was also, and there was quite a bit on the TV about this, the 40th anniversary of Live Aid as well. And I was just having a look down, and some bunch of chances called U2 were on before you. And then another bunch, somebody called Queen, followed you on stage as well. Quite an afternoon. But am I right in thinking that you guys couldn't stick around because you had an arena show sold out waiting for you in the evening?
Well, we in fact had 11 or 12 arena shows sold out with 10,000 people a night. So, you know, we had 100,000 people who were expecting us to turn up every night at the arena next door. And Live Aid happened in the middle of this. And Bob Geldof was most insistent that we played. So the only time we could play was in the afternoon. Simple as that. So, yeah, we had U2 on before us and Queen on after us. But I have to say, I'm rather glad we didn't have to follow Queen, actually, because it was quite a remarkable performance. I mean, we would have been fine, you know, but, you know, it was a fantastic day. I've got to say, I think anybody who was involved in it was really put the egos on side, and you know, I don't think you'll ever see that group of musicians together again. A few of them passed away, of course.
Yeah. It's one of those days that for my generation, It's one of those days where you remember what you were doing and where you were on Live Aid Day. I can remember it as clear as a bell because I watched the start of it, went to play cricket and caught up with it when we came back afterwards. And it was just when we were all starting to watch VHS videos, and one of the guys on the cricket team had got his girlfriend to record the entire lot, flinging in videos. There were only 3-hour videotapes in those days, weren't there? So she was swapping over videotapes all afternoon and all evening, and we came back from the pub to watch it all.
Wow, God. Okay, so you watched it from start to finish.
Pretty much, you know. So it was quite a day.
Well, at least you found somebody who could work a video recorder. I'm not very good at that. So if I was been asked to record it would have been a disaster. But yeah, so I mean, the other thing that was amazing about it was actually the fact that they managed to beam it all around the world to an enormous audience. So this isn't, we are talking about 85 now, where these days it's easy to do, but in 1985, that was quite an achievement. Six, I don't know, was it 6 billion people or something?
Something like that. It went
It
everywhere,
was
didn't it?
ridiculous, unbelievable. I mean, it was an extraordinary amount of people. People probably in Africa were looking at it and thinking, what are these blokes doing? I mean, I don't know. Anyway, it was an extraordinary thing, and hats off to Bob for putting it all together. Geldof is quite a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
And still is. It is.
And of course, 1985, Brothers in Arms, 40th anniversary this year. When you were making the record, did it stand out to you? Did you think we've hit upon something? We've gone to the next level. It's going to do so well, or was it just a case of these are the best songs we've got at the moment?
Well, a simple answer is you never really know with any record that you do, but one has to put it in perspective because we'd already have had four studio albums and a very successful live album out, and we've been touring exclusively around the world. So the band was pretty well known before we even started making Brothers in Arms. But I do remember when we first started working on the songs that Mark brought to the band, that I thought we had some real crackers on this record, and as that's how it turns out to be. But you never really know. You never know how things are going to work out. It's just wonderful when people pick up on what you're doing. And of course, it was recorded digitally, which was very different from us for us, and very new technology, which wasn't faultless at the time. And then CDs and MTV. I mean, there was a lot of things going on, a lot of developments going on, which all took off at the same time. And so I think, and also Money for Nothing was rotated on MTV, which had just come to Europe, I think. It was on maximum rotation, so you couldn't avoid it. You couldn't avoid seeing Money for Nothing. And I think that video by Steve Barron was an extraordinary achievement. It really, even when I watched it the other day, because it was on that Live Aid thing on the TV, and I thought, for its time, that was pretty original. It was computer graphics, which nobody had really accomplished before. He was a great director, Steve Barron, and I can't even remember how it all came together, apart from the fact that I think he heard the song and approached us and said, I think I can do something really interesting with this.
We'll finish just with a little bit about the tour that you're doing this time. Who, what's the format? Who's with you musically? How does the evening play out?
Okay, well, the music starts with talking about the origins of the band and how it all got together, like we've just been discussing, and making the demo tape at Bathway Studios and getting a record contract and making the first few albums. So we chat for about 15-20 minutes. Myself with one of my old managers, Paul Cummins, who was also the tour manager of Dire Straits. So he asked me lots of questions, and we have a chat with the audience and the screens to show videos and such like. And then I get the band on. That's Robbie McIntosh, who was a wonderful guitar player, played with the Pretenders and John Mayer and Tom Jones and Steve Smith, the keyboard player, who's played with just about everybody. I can't remember because too many people to mention. And then a lovely girl called Hannah Robinson, who sings and plays the acoustic guitar. And she's a singer-songwriter in her own right. And her voice goes really well with mine, so that's great. And I'm just looking around for a percussionist. I'm just hoping the person I can get will come with us. So it we what we do is we take the straight songs and we sort of we play them the way they are, but in the way that when we recorded them, They were much simpler until you added all the bits on. So it's kind of an acoustic, semi-acoustic, bit of electric here, there, and everywhere of the music. And they sort of come alive again for what they are, which is good songs. We're not crashing through the cymbals and the drum kits and everything like that. I really love doing it. I love doing it because you play down to the waterline just with two guitars and a keyboard, and it's kind of magical.
It sounds fabulous and I can't wait.
Good.
John, thanks ever so much for your time. And we'll see you up in the Northeast later on in November.
I'll look forward to it. Thank you very much, Stuart.
And a reminder that John Ilsley, The Life and Times of Dire Straits, comes to the Witham on Saturday, the 15th of November. Tickets are available online. Go to www.thewitham.org.uk.
Hi, this is Louise, Queen of Social Media, and you're listening to Talking Teasdale with Stuart and Jane.
So I can't wait for John Ilsley. Sounds like it's going to be a cracking evening of chat and some top tunes from the Dire Straits days. Jane's back with me to have a look at some more autumn highlights.
I am.
Complete with programme.
Yes, we've got a new programme out September to December.
Hurrah.
Yes, so you can pick up your copy from the Witham or various other outlets. Around the town and the region.
Very good.
Yes.
So let's pick out one or two highlights in the coming weeks and months.
Well, as ever, we have something for everyone and we have a variety of music.
Mm-hmm.
So we kick off next Saturday, 6th of September, with Smooth and Terrell.
That rings a bell with me. I couldn't name you a song or tell you the style, but the name kind of chimes somewhere in there.
Soul and funk. So if you're into that kind of music, there will be an open bar.
Do you like a bit of soul and funk?
Yeah.
We have a couple of hours of it on a lunchtime when I'm doing my stint in the Oxfam shop on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And it always plays well with the punters.
Yes. So get your tickets for that. Should be a good night. Then if you like blues.
Ah, that's more my sort of thing.
We've got Connor Selby.
Ah, yes. Now, Connor's going to be a guest on the podcast in the next week or so.
Yeah.
Once I've got myself organised.
Mm-hmm. And he sounds excellent. He's coming with his band. That's Wednesday, the 17th of September. We have a choir, Voices of Hope. They're Newcastle-based. I think they've won BBC Choir of the Year, and they're going to be performing a world premiere.
Oh.
And the composer will be in the audience as well.
Blimey.
So that is on Friday, the 19th of September.
Excellent.
Brass bands.
Oh, you couldn't not mention brass bands.
Exactly. Well, of course, we've got Barnard Castle Band coming to do the Remembrance Concert in November.
Always, always.
But we have the Ever Ready Band coming.
Ah, yes.
Saturday, the 20th of September.
Did they used to be the Reg Vardy?
They did.
Right, so people might remember them as the Reg Vardy, yes. But they're now the Ever Ready.
They are, yes.
Not the Duracell.
No.
But they still go on and on and on.
Yes. And we've got Royal Northern Symphonia back for their season.
Okay.
We've got a special offer on there. If you buy three concerts, I think you get 10% off. All four concerts, you get 20% off. And their first concert is on Sunday, the 21st of September. That's a matinee, 2 o'clock start.
Very good. So, music, well catered for.
Well catered for music.
What else?
What else? We have theatre.
Mm-hmm.
We've obviously got National Theatre Live coming back. And their first offering is live, Inter Alia, which is Rosamund Pike.
All right.
If you saw Prima Facie, it's similar to that one-woman play.
Right.
Illegal play. And that's on Thursday, the 4th of September.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got live theatre with The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and the Body Snatcher. That's on Thursday, the 2nd of October. That's Northumberland Touring Theatre Company.
That looks quite interesting. Yeah. When I was having a look through the programme, that struck me as quite, that should be quite interesting to see how they do that.
Exactly. And they're coming back in December to do It's a Wonderful Life. So that'll be good. We've got some famous names. The 3 Degrees are back.
They're back. They loved us so much last time. They're back.
Yes, they're back. Tuesday, the 7th of October. Annabelle Croft.
Oh, yes. Now, some people will know her from Strictly, but those of us of a certain vintage will remember when she was quite the thing on the tennis court.
Yes. And she's going to be doing a bit of spoken word, and she's also going to be dancing.
Oh.
And that is on Friday the 17th of October. Yeah. And there's still some meet and greet tickets.
Very good.
For that left. We've got, who else? Bay City Rollers.
Oh my giddy aunt.
That's another. Do you remember them?
I think there's one original. Woody.
Yes.
I think it was either guitarist.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, the Bay City Rollers were literally all about, I mean, they were only about 16 or 17 when they were big.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine a 60-something Bay City Roller, to be perfectly honest.
Well, come along and find out. Saturday the 18th of October, Stuart.
I don't know.
And then at the moment,
Are you familiar with Bay City?
Yes.
Roller Mania?
Yes.
I was at primary school at the time, and some of the kids had... The thing was to have a tartan yeah. scarves tied around your waist and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dear. The 70s have got a lot to answer for.
I was only little in the 70s.
Yeah. Anyway.
So we have, at the moment, we've got Railway Exhibition on.
Darlington Stockton, yes. 200th anniversary.
Yes. And at the end of October, we have got some events linked to that.
Oh.
So we've got Spoken Word, the Stockton and Darlington Railway, the railway that got the world on track. That is on Wednesday, the 29th of October.
Mm-hmm. Who's the speaker, does it say?
It's Caroline Hardy and Niall Hammond.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah. We've also got train-themed Lego workshops in the half-term holidays. And a storytelling and crafts activity, Little Loco's Big Day.
Very good.
So that's in half term as well.
Did you know Rod Stewart is a huge model railway fan?
I didn't.
Yeah. Apparently, no. whereas we're sitting in our attic chatting about stuff for a podcast, Rod Stewart has his attic as a huge model railway layout.
Right. My dad used to have something very similar. Model railway in his attic.
Anyway, so plenty of railway related stuff.
Yes. And then obviously, as we're heading into the end of the year, we have the pantomime.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, we do. Snow White this year. And the early bird tickets are on sale, but not for much longer. The prices will go up after the 15th of September.
Right. So plenty of stuff going on over the next couple of months or so, up to the end of the year.
Yes.
The brochure, as you mentioned, of the programme is out.
Yes.
But full details are on the website, www.thewitham.org.
Yep.
Is the box office still working?
The box office is still working.
Excellent.
Yes, you can still go in and you can buy your tickets.
Can I ring it up?
You can ring the number, yes, and it'll give you an option to buy tickets.
Very good. What's the number? I've forgotten.
The number is 01833-63-1107.
Well done.
Are you impressed with that?
Absolutely. After a summer off, yes. Right, till next time.
We'll see you later.
Cheers.
Bye.
So that's it for this time. Jane and I will be back again soon talking Teasdale. Until then, cheerio.
Thanks for listening. We'll be talking Teasdale again soon. In the meantime, please spread the word, like, share, and subscribe, or go online to thewitham.org.uk.